Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Bill Alexander. Bill, I hope you're enjoying your Labor Day weekend here.
Well, life is good. Life is good. Hope it is for you and your family.
Yeah, you know, it's first week back at school for the kids, so that's always fun.
Well, it's always nice to have a long holiday. Labor Day is another important holiday that has been around for many years. In fact, it's an older holiday than most of our federal holidays. Do you have any guess as to how many years we have celebrated Labor Day?
I'll say 100 years. I don't know.
Actually, that's a better guess than what I would think most people would give us. But no, you're wrong. Labor Day has been celebrated for 142 years.
Wow.
Is that not crazy? And actually, it was celebrated, the first Labor Day celebration, federal holiday, was in New York City, where they made a big to-do of it in 1882. So, can you imagine? And actually, it was celebrated in a number of states and municipalities before it became a federal holiday. And, you know, it's always interesting to look up the history of holidays that we celebrate. Obviously for us, the celebration is we get a day off. In my office, we actually utilize our major holidays like this to take 2 days off. So my office was closed on Friday, and it's closed on Monday as well for Labor Day. But And of course, I would also give a shout out to a particular group of laborers, and that would be those folks who are caregivers, those who are taking care of family members, a spouse or a parent or grandparent, because frankly, our health insurance doesn't cover care like that. So many people think it does, but no, health insurance doesn't, Medicare doesn't. And in fact, Medicaid does not help either, unless you have very, very low income, little to no assets, or you need nursing facility care. Some folks can qualify for care in assisted living, and some veterans can qualify for VA benefits that help for long-term care. But the fact is that our health system is not based on long-term care. It's based on acute care. You know, if you break your arm, you can go to the hospital, and your health insurance will cover it if you have health insurance. But long-term care is not that way, and it makes it extraordinarily difficult for families. And anyone who has cared for a loved one for any period of time comes under a great deal of stress. And the irony is that the folks I'm giving a shout out to don't get a day of rest. I mean, they can't necessarily take Sundays off or Labor Day Mondays off if they're needed to be there with their loved one for that care. So, you know, I would simply say, as I take a little time off for rest and renewal, that it is an important concept. All of the studies for those that have gone on for years will tell you that the folks who work hard every day will do a better job if they take a break. you know, if they get a vacation, if they take a days off, because all of us need rest and renewal. It's important that we do that for ourselves. It makes us better people. And we want to be better people, don't we? So now, if we're really talking about Labor Day, it's why it's celebrated, truthfully, it came about, folks in North Carolina may not appreciate this, but the fact is that it was based on recognizing the contributions of what the labor movement meant to the United States. And by the labor movement, I'm really talking about labor unions, where workers basically organized. You have to go back in time and realize that at one time, companies, manufacturers, they were using children as laborers, very long hours, low wages, safety issues were a concern. Companies would use people, and if things went poorly for them, they'd spit them out. And quite frankly, when workers organized, it was more than just about pay. And of course, a lot of the government regulations that we have today started, if you really get down to it, with the labor movement, where folks not only demanded reasonable wages, but demanded safer conditions, and then, of course, getting rid of child labor and the like. And so, whether you like labor unions or not, the fact is that they have contributed to a much better world today when you look at all the good things that have been accomplished because of that. That's what Labor Day, that's what you're celebrating today, if you get right down to it. And, it's important for us to recognize what it is that we are celebrating as we enjoy, hopefully, that most of us are enjoying this long weekend.
It's always important to have that perspective. And, Bill, I always appreciate your perspective as someone who's who has a love of history, and in particular American history. So you always provide some good insight for us on these things.
Well, I appreciate that. But there's also danger lurking, and it's really, really scary. I hope folks are taking note of the mosquito-borne viruses. And we'll just pray that it doesn't come to North Carolina. But there have been a presence, and people for the last several weeks have heard about the West Nile virus, and it's been in the New York City area, and it's a mosquito-borne virus, and it's extraordinarily debilitating. And takes a long time to recover from it with a lot of residual effects. But there's another mosquito-borne virus right now that's even scarier. And it's called the Triple E virus, it's in the Boston, Massachusetts area. And now that we're talking about one mosquito bite here, and all of us have suffered mosquitoes, so some worse than others. But this Triple E virus has a fatality rate of 30%. And that, when you hear that number, that scares the patooties out of you, or at least it does me. And it may mean that we need to be extra careful, extra vigilant, using bug spray and long sleeve shirts and pants and things like that. And like I said, we just need to pray that those mosquitoes don't come our way, because the disease that they cause are pretty darn scary. Scarier than COVID, if you get right down to it. Because how many of us have never had a mosquito bite? It's impossible to avoid completely. So it's a thing to watch out for, and to watch and see if there are any cases of it that come towards Virginia or North Carolina. Because this is something that we all need to be careful about.
As if we didn't need another reason to dislike mosquitoes. Well, thank you for putting that on our radar, Bill. And want to put something on your radar. That's WGALaw.com. You can go there to find information about scheduling some time to speak with an elder law attorney. We're going to get into some asset protection areas here in just a bit. And you can also find information about their free webinars, the WG Alexander & Associates free webinars that happen the second Wednesday of every month. So there's a set of webinars happening in September. Wednesday, September 11th is the date that you want to mark on your calendar. If you would like to attend for free, there's no cost associated with the webinars. You can do so by going to WGA Law and clicking on the seminars button. There are two webinars happening on that Wednesday. The morning session deals with long-term care assistance, families dealing with issues related to long-term care and the costs associated with that. This is helpful information when it comes to Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for families dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon session deals with asset protection and trust planning. If you've maybe heard about trusts and want to learn more, this is a great way to get an educational experience with no cost associated with it. Just go to WGALaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page to register. You can also call the office. The phone number is 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. We're taking a short break, but we'll be back with more. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. You can go to WGALaw.com to find information about WG Alexander and Associates and their team. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney or register for their free webinars that are happening on Wednesday, September 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, financial assistance for those families dealing with a long-term care crisis, covers Medicaid, VA benefits. It's a really, really helpful and informative session, and it's free to attend. Go to WGALaw.com to do that. And there's also a webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning. Again, WGALaw.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, speaking of trusts, we want to get into some misunderstandings with trusts.
Well, that I do want to get to that. But actually, Jason, the first thing I want to do, it's my pleasure to announce that this coming second Wednesday of the month, September 11th, we're not only going to do our two webinars, one in the morning on Medicaid and financial assistance for long-term care, and the afternoon based on trust-based asset protection planning. I'm actually going to conduct a real seminar face-to-face. It'll be at 6:30 that evening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh. Now, Independence Village is located behind a small shopping center at the intersection of Edwards Mill Road and Duralee Road. It's actually on a road called Charles B. Root Wind. Now that's not W-I-N-D, that's W-Y-N-D, but it's a fancy word for street. But we'll start that seminar off at 6:30 that evening, and it will be a combination of both our Medicaid long-term care assistance and our trust-based asset protection plan. So I'm going to try to do a combination seminar that night. Never done it quite like that before, but I hope folks will come out face-to-face, and if they have questions, obviously it will be a good opportunity for that. Independence Village is a wonderful host. Now, I will not, just so folks know, this is not a dinner meeting. We're not providing food for anyone. We are not that kind of food anyway. Food for thought, yes. but edible food, no. It will be worth your time for sure, because we will do our best to educate you on these topics. And I've never had anybody complain about not getting a good, helpful information, and that they were glad that they attended. So anyway, this September 11th, 6:30 in the evening, Independence Village, I'll be there, and I hope you guys will be there too.
That's excellent. I'm so glad to hear. And it's been, it's hard to believe, Bill, but over 3 years since you've done
since COVID, that's for sure.
An in-person mm-hmm. seminar. So this is a great opportunity for everyone. Again, please register mm-hmm. in advance, wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page.
Well, now let's talk about some trust-based things, and actually just some estate planning things, because it's not unusual at all for folks to come into the office and right away they'll say, you know, we'd really like to keep things simple, particularly for our kids, but for each other as well. And we've heard that trust-based planning is the better way to go, but we really don't understand trusts and the like. And so it's, I get that, okay? But the fact is, and I'll just say, what's a trust? All it is, it's an agreement. And of course, like any contract, you can make a contract simple, you can make it complex, but the fact is that it's your contract. It's what you want to make it, and you can make a trust do anything you want it to do. That's one of the reasons why a trust-based plan can be a really wonderful planning tool for yourself, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. Trusts are wonderful. I love doing trusts, but I do wills as well. And here's the thing. Do you really understand a will? And if you get right down to it, the fact is most people really don't understand it. You know, there's in every will, and of course it's true in a trust too, there is a bunch of technical language. There's legalese. There's words that people don't understand. There's references to statutes, you know, North Carolina statutes, if it's a North Carolina document. And the fact is that do people understand that a will has to be taken to the clerk of superior court in your county? At the ones in North Carolina anyway, yes. And you know that an executor has to be appointed. That's the person who manages, who's responsible for it, and has to report to the clerk what they've done and how they've done it. And the clerk makes sure that you distribute property the way the will requires you to do that. But the fact is that there is a court process that has to go through. And best casing it, just a real simple will normally takes 6 to 9 months or more. In some cases, it can take 2 or 3 years to get something resolved the way it's supposed to be. And I hate to say it, but sometimes it takes longer than that. It just really depends on a lot of circumstances. But the point is that a will has certain types of language in it. And quite frankly, if it's a well-drafted will, there will be statements in that will that anyone other than an attorney won't understand. This is not just true in North Carolina, it's true in every state. We have unique laws that are different from other states. And so our wills that are done in North Carolina have to be done a certain way to be valid, and they have to be executed in a certain way to be valid and acceptable, to where the clerk will actually take that piece of paper and announce, it's called probate, where they basically take that paper in and review it and say, yes, this is a valid will. We're going to accept this as your last will and testament. And North Carolina, for a properly drawn will, if it's going to be a self-probating will, it has to have at least two witnesses and a notary. And a notary who notarizes not only the testator's signature, but the witness's signature as well. Now, what does it mean to have a self-proving will? It basically means that the witnesses don't have to show up at the courthouse years later when you die and say, yes, that's my signature, and I saw Mr. Smith sign this will, and we're good to go. And now that, in fact, when I started practicing law, that's what we had to do. If we were the witness to the will, we had to go down to the courthouse every time somebody died and said, yep, that's the will we drew, and that's my signature, and I saw Mr. Smith sign that will. And after all the witnesses did that, then the clerk would say, okay, this will is now probated. Done. So, now about the time I started practicing law, which is almost 50 years ago now, the legislature got wise and said, this is not a great idea to have to have folks go down to the courthouse every time somebody dies. So let's make them self-proving wills. And that's when the notary's got a job to do, where a notary would notarize the signature of the testator as well as the witnesses, so that folks didn't have to go down to the courthouse anymore. And quite frankly, that makes a big difference, because some folks would execute a will and then they'd die 25 years later. And where are you going to find those witnesses? This is a pretty mobile society. Now, there may have been a time when people didn't move, but the fact is office workers come and go, and lawyers die and move on and retire and things like that. So having a self-proving will is much, much safer than the way it used to be if you did. Now, with that said, it's really important for folks to understand that to be valid, you have to sign it. You have to sign the document, sign the will in front of the two witnesses and the notary. Everybody has to be there at the same time. Now, what happens when you want to change that will? Okay. Well, the fact is I've had lots of people over the years that would actually scratch something out on the original will, and they'd write something in, and then they'd initial it, and they'd think that was okay. Now, here's the question, Jason. I think you can answer this one, and you're not a lawyer. When you scratch something out on a will and you initial it, are you doing it in front of two witnesses and a notary?
Usually not, no.
Well, do you think that once you've done that, would that will still be valid, and would the clerk of Superior Court accept that document as your last will and testament?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, that's a good answer. So that's the point. So, you know, when you have an original document like that, if you want to make a change, don't make marks on the original document, because what happens for most people when they've done that, that document isn't valid. So do you have a will if the one you got is invalid? Well, there you go. No, you don't. So now you're willless. You don't have a will. All right. So I know we have to take a break. I'm having too much fun. So when we come back, we'll talk briefly about what happens when you don't have a will.
It's a good thing to discuss because, as you mentioned, Bill, there's often misunderstandings when it comes to trusts and wills, and really understanding how they operate. And, you know, your scratch out example is another one. You may think that you're protected and you've made some sort of modification that invalidates things. Well, if you haven't had your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney, this is a really good reason and a great time to do that. You can schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander & Associates by going to WGALaw.com. WGALaw.com. You can schedule some time to speak with a professional. You can also find information about their free webinars and seminars happening on Wednesday, September 11th. These are going to cover the subjects of long-term care assistance, as well as asset protection and trust planning. The morning and afternoon sessions will be webinars that you can attend from the comfort of your own home. All you need to do is register in advance. Go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. And it's back now. The seminars, the live in-person seminars, are happening on Wednesday, September 11th. There's going to be one at 6:30 p.m. at Independence Village, Old Raleigh. Again, find information at WGALaw.com. Register in advance. It's free to attend. There's no cost associated with this. Don't come expecting food, though. Bill's not going to feed you. Just going to feed you with education and food for thought. Go to WGALaw.com to learn more. Quick break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. You can go to WGALaw.com if you would like to register for their free webinars and free seminar happening on Wednesday, September 11th. Learn more about long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and today we're talking about trusts and wills. And Bill, just before we wrapped up the last segment, we wanted to dive into the concept of what happens if you don't have a will.
Well, the first thing I would say is everybody knows it's better to have a will than to not have a will. But you'd be shocked at how many people don't have a last will and testament. It really surprises me at times when I have folks who come in and they're 60, sometimes 70, sometimes in their 80s, and it's like, yeah, we better do a will. We don't have one now. We've never done one. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Now, The average folks actually only do a will about every 20 years. Now, we could do better than that. I mean, 20 is not that great. But if somebody comes in and hadn't had their will redone or reviewed, but 20 years ago, then I tell them, you know, you're average. But the fact is, at least they had a will, even if it was an old will that was way, way out of date. But the fact is, if you don't have a will, then you don't really control where your property goes. Now, you may end up controlling some of your property because of the way you own it. Because sometimes we have property that we have accounts with that are joint with right of survivorship. We have beneficiary designations on our retirement accounts and our life insurance if we have that. But the fact is that most people who are married unfortunately think that their spouse gets everything if they die without a will. And that is absolutely wrong. And it's always been wrong. There are times, rare times, when a spouse might be entitled to everything, where your parents are gone and you have no children and you've been married a long time, then it's a maybe. But the fact is that if you have children or if your parents are still alive, and you're married, then your spouse does not get everything. They get a percentage. Now, I'm talking about without a will. And now the percentage is actually based on different factors, how long you've been married, whether you have children together, those kinds of things. And so it can get pretty complex on who gets what. Obviously, from my perspective, it's always better to have a will than not to have a will. Now, if you should do a trust, and I'm going to come back and talk about trust in a little bit, you still have a will. But what your will does is it says, if I've left something out of my trust, then my will says, put it in my trust after you probate and administer my property through the court. So that's important. But before I get to trust, what I want to make a point that I make from time to time, and that is for a lot of folks, your will is actually less important than the other documents that we do for folks, what we call our ancillary documents. But those documents are really life documents. Those are the things that where we can appoint our trusted people to make decisions and do things for us financially. That's the general durable power of attorney. Or health-wise, that's the health care power of attorney. Or if we want to have an advanced directive for natural death, and most of us do, that's also called a living will, that's important. There's a federal requirement to have a medical release for HIPAA compliance. And there's a new document that our legislature enacted a law for a few years ago called a digital release, because almost all of us are going online to pay our bills and to change investments around and the like. And so what we do online is so important today, and having a digital release is what gives your trusted loved one your permission to use your name, your username and password to go online. So estate planning is not just about whether you have a will or trust. It's about life planning as well. And those other documents, if you care about having things done while you're alive and having things done properly and with legal authority, then having good estate planning documents is essential.
If you would like to have some good estate planning documents yourself, highly recommend the folks at WG Alexander & Associates. If you would like to schedule a sit down with them to either have some documents drawn up, or maybe you've had some documents in the past, maybe you're above the average that Bill mentioned, maybe you're beyond that 20 years and you want to have your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney, that's a great idea. Go to WGALaw.com to schedule some time to speak with a professional. You can also find information at WGALaw.com about their free webinars that are happening on Wednesday, September 11th. The webinars are happening in the morning and the afternoon, and in the evening, there's a live in-person seminar that you can attend. So the morning session is going to cover long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance available for families dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon session is going to deal with asset protection and trust planning. Both of those are going to be webinars that you can attend from the comfort of your own home. And at 6:30 that evening, there's going to be an in-person seminar. It's going to be kind of a hybrid of the two other seminars that are happening, the webinars that are happening that day. You can register to attend for free by going to WGALaw.com. Just click on the seminars button, and there you'll find information about registering. You can also call the office if you prefer to register that way. The phone number is 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. Quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about WG Alexander & Associates by going to WGALaw.com. WGALaw.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we've been talking a lot about misunderstandings when it comes to legal documents. We spend a lot of time talking about wills. Now we want to focus a bit on trusts.
Well, and of course, all a trust is, if you get right down to it, is a contract. It's an agreement that most trusts that are created by estate planners are at least start out as a revocable trust, a one that can be changed at any time. And basically, it's a contract that you're making with yourself. And oftentimes, I recommend for married couples a joint revocable trust, and, you know, because most of us who've been married a long time have most of our property held jointly, and so a joint revocable trust makes sense for couples like that. Now, you can have us, even as a married couple, you can have a separate trust. You can have one trust for the husband, one trust for the wife, no problem whatsoever. In fact, years ago, back when I started doing trust-based planning, that's the way we did it, separate trusts for each spouse. But I truthfully do far more joint trusts today for married couples than not. But all it is a contract. You're creating an agreement. You're naming yourself as trustee. That's the person who manages the agreement. And by manages, that means you decide on how you're going to invest trust property and how you will distribute or spend trust income, and whether or not you want the principal of the trust to be used for whatever purpose. But you're not limited in any way, because, and guess who the beneficiary is? It's you. So you're creating this document, you're naming yourself to manage it, and you're naming yourself as the primary beneficiary with no strings attached, no handcuffs. You use your Social Security number for tax reporting, so it's no different in terms of the way you have always done your income tax return. And so it's pretty darn easy when you get right down to it. Now, I have to admit that hopefully your trust is readable and understandable. Now, yeah, there'll be some legalese and technical stuff that you don't understand, But the important parts are should be very readable, where it's based on what you want to happen for yourself, your spouse, your children and grandchildren, and the like. And so that part of a trust should be readable. And I have to admit, I have reviewed trusts that I could hardly read. They were all technical, no guidance. I don't like those kinds of trusts. But like I said, you can create a trust to do pretty much anything you want to do. But for me, I believe you can do far better tax planning, family planning, disability planning, and all with a trust agreement.
If you would like to learn more about trusts, you can go to WGALaw.com and schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. You can also register and attend the free webinars happening on Wednesday, September 11th. There's one dedicated to asset protection and trust planning in the afternoon. The morning session, which is a webinar, is covering long-term care assistance. And in the evening, there's an in-person seminar happening that covers both of those subjects, long-term care assistance and asset protection and trust planning. Go to WGALaw.com, click on the seminars button to register and attend. We're taking a short break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Stick around. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Be sure to go to WGALaw.com so you can register and attend the free webinars happening on Wednesday, September 11th. The morning and afternoon sessions are going to be conducted virtually so you can attend from the comfort of your own home. Learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits in the morning session. Learn more about asset protection and trust planning in the afternoon. And in the evening, it's back. The in-person seminars. Join Bill at 6:30 p.m. at Independence Village of Old Raleigh. There, he'll be covering kind of a hybrid session of the long-term care assistance and asset protection trust planning seminars. So, yeah, it's going to be a great time. We look forward to seeing you there. Be sure to register by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button or calling 919-256-7000. That's it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong. Thanking you for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.